radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel." Underline that. Give your advice and counsel. He was one of the leaders. He was one of the judges, as it were, in Israel. He was supposed to know what should happen here. He should have given them counsel and guidance and advice. And he was asking, listen, every man in Israel to give their opinion. At the end of the book, the last verse is going to say there was no king in Israel. Therefore, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's what you can see playing itself out. And so I want you to know that when these men were given this opportunity to weigh in on this situation, that they literally rose to that occasion, but they did it poorly. And the reason they did it poorly is because in that day, because people thought much of themselves, listen, this is my first heading, it's going to go down to verse 18, judgment seemed easy. Think about that. Doesn't judgment seem easy? Isn't it funny how we live in a day where we find it easy for us as individuals to critique others so easily? To critique people who drive poorly? By the way, I drove poorly this morning, just so you know. What my wife would call, I squashed a tomato. Because somebody moved everything around on the timer of this, you know, my point. So I've got all my excuses. But the point is, we all do it, but we would really be hard on the other guy when he did it. Is that true? What about preachers? I had a guy say to me this past week when I was pointing out all these things, he said, "You just always seem so judgmental." I said, "I'm not judgmental." I said, "It's not about the people. I love the people. I understand the people. I had my own nonsense I was chasing, and I was a mess just like they are." I said, "But what the problem is when the institution goes sideways and begins to celebrate and begins to promote the nonsense." I told him, I said, "It's like we're all in the same boat here, and they've got this little drill, and they're putting holes in the bottom of our boat. Now that troubles me." And he said, "I get it." He said, "I understand what you're saying." Now here's the thing. Preachers are judged even harder than Christians are judged. Because we find it our duty somehow to critique. You know, like Ezekiel was told. They aren't really listening to you, Ezekiel. They see you as one who sings a pretty song and plays well on an instrument. But when they leave, they speak against you behind your back. You see, we would rather critique the ministers who are trying to have a clarion call in a dark world than to consult them. Now, I say that because I feel it sometimes. People will come and go. They will listen for a while and say, "No, I don't think that's for me." That's critiquing. But Paul said this. He said, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we would be helpers of your joy. That's why I say don't look at a preacher as somebody to critique, but as somebody to consult. And then you have to turn around and take what they added to what you knew and put that into your shoe leather. I can't police you. I wouldn't want to. I have a hard time taking care of myself. But what I do is I've come up with a plethora of understanding from the years of study of the Scriptures and watching things go as they've gone. And my role is to speak into the lives of God's people. I am to build you up. I'm to fortify you and help you. When you get into a day where things are so confused through the corruption, you'll see that people will not know how to judge rightly. They think judgment is easy. Condemnation is easy. Judgment, not so easy. And we kind of put those together and think they're the same thing. They are not. Jesus says in John, he says, "Judge ye righteous judgment." And when they ask these men to make judgment, you know, people always like to quote that, right? "Judge not that you be not judged." Keep reading. It says, "Remove the beam from your eye of unlove. And then you'll be able to take that little speck out of your brother's eye." Because you're supposed to judge that speck, but you're going to do it in the right way when you're not unloving. You see, God wants us to have our head on our shoulders, our eyes in our head, and our hearts engaged with Him. So that when we look at each other, we can look with mercy and peace and love and acceptance and understanding. None of us gets it right all the time. And from a pastoral perspective, I can say, go easy on your preachers because they are there for you. The Bible says the ministers are given to the church as a gift. God gave gifts to men, and He gave some pastors and teachers for the maturing of the saints onto the work of the ministry. So don't ever go into a church and critique the pastor. You may not always agree with the pastor, but in this day, the people thought they knew what was going on. I think it's a lot like the day we live in today. And so I make that application for you because I believe it's in the passage. The man who's supposed to be the spiritual leader asks their opinion. And the Bible says in verse 8, and all the people rose up as one man saying, we will not go any of us to our tent, neither will we return any of us to our house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. Now, this is groping. You can almost feel it. This is what we're going to do. Okay. And where did they get this? Because Israel had a great history. I mean, these guys are the grandchildren of Joshua's generation. And when he would tell them about how to divide the land, there was the lot. And sometimes there was a time when they would say, let's draw lots and we'll figure out who's going to go first. And they did it at the beginning of the book of Judges. They drew lots to see who would go up against their enemies in Canaan that were leftovers. And so you see them groping. Yeah, I get this. I know this. I think of it like a little 8-year-old who knows. I know what we're going to do. I know where we need to go. You know, a little 8-year-old. They know everything because they've been here forever, you know. And it's funny because you guys may have heard this past week about the United Nations talking about the green nonsense that's out there, you know, the global warming and all that. And they brought children into the United Nations and these children were crying. And then there were people who were adults saying, we need to listen to our children. That was the thing I took away. Yeah, they know. They know what's going on with global warming. They only know what their teachers have told them. They are byproducts of their generation. We have a big world here. I think it's Tallahassee, Florida. You take every person in the world that could fit in that city. Now, they're not going to live there, but I'm talking shoulder to shoulder. You're told that the world is overpopulated. One city in California also. You look it up because it's by the National Geographic. It's not somebody who's out there just trying to spin some stuff. This is the truth. But the world tells you we have affected the entire world's warming. Listen, I'm not going to argue that right now. But what I want you to understand is that when people think they already know, they can't be taught. And they can't be told and they can't be instructed and they can't be helped. And this is when God gives us up, when we begin to believe the lie. In the book of Revelation in chapter 18 says that outside of heaven is whosoever loves and makes a lie. Some people love the lie and some people make the lie. And the people who make the lie foist the lie on other people who love the lie. And then they get real passionate about the lie. And that's what we saw in the children this past week. And while that was going on, President Trump was over across the way making another speech about the persecution of Christians and all religions, really. The intolerance of religious expression across the world, and he was calling the United Nations to the mat for it. No president has ever done that before. They've mentioned it, referenced it quick, and moved on. But do you know who is by far and away the most persecuted group of people in the world today? It's Christians. Now, we live in America. It doesn't seem right, right? Well, we got bakers. We've got clerks of courts who wouldn't sign certain documents. We've got people who are photographers, people who have bed and breakfast. They've been put on notice, and some of them have been destroyed in their businesses by the judicial system because they would not cooperate with that which was against their convictions. Beloved, listen, this is a scary day because it's only a hop, skip, and a jump to the other because the rest of the world is putting them to death. And so I say to you that when these people thought they knew, they stumbled their way through, they did best they could to grab what they understood, and they tried to make a judgment, but they did not make clear judgments. They made judgments that were going to cause a world of hurt. They lashed out in passion, they made vows, and they created a vortex from which they're going to have a hard time recovering. The Bible says that they said that they would not go back to their tent, but they would go up by lot against Gibeah. So they're going to go in and fight. The first thing they say, listen, is fight. Now, once they get that all agreed upon, then they go and ask what's going on in Gibeah and ask them to bring those men out. The Bible says all Israel was gathered against Gibeah, the city, verse 11, as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin and said, what wickedness is this among you? So they came with an accusational spirit, right? They didn't say, listen, we need to talk. They said, what's this wickedness you guys have done? Now, listen, there's a way to confront somebody. And there's a way not to. Right away, these guys are coming in passion. They're coming with puffed up chests. And they already know. I believe that it's easier to be a conservative in America today than it is to be a Christian. I can talk about politics all day, but if I talk about Jesus, people will get angry. That blessed name, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess, is the sweetest and most powerful name in the world, and yet it is used as a swear word and slang routinely. Why? Because the devil would have it so. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, he's now at work in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians 2 says, and that is what we all once were before we got saved. We were children of wrath, as were they. So we come to people around us with a different spirit. Remember when James and John wanted to call fire out of heaven? What did Jesus say to them? You don't know what spirit you're of. You need to back that off a little bit, fella. We're here to give them love and mercy and opportunity, not to wipe them out in a stroke. God could, but he waits. He waits. He's long-suffering. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Well, the Bible says they went in and they came and they said, deliver, in verse 13, unto us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. The Bible says, but the children of Benjamin would not hearken unto the voice of the brethren, the children of Israel. Now, interesting, again, things that are messed up here. The first thing to notice is they're saying what they're going to do out of the gate. They're not going to have two or three witnesses. You remember that? The Bible says, let everything be established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, that's in the wind because one guy has testified. One woman has been dismembered and sent to all parts of the nation. And here we have these people coming saying, we've already know what we're going to do. We're just going to kill them. We're just going to put them down. Now, I get it. Maybe there's some details we don't have. But what I want you to remember is the heading. Judgment seems easy. But it's not easy. It's laborious. And the sad thing is that because it's laborious, we've come to a time where even our judiciary in this generation we live in is very careful to a fault. Somebody can be convicted and all the evidence is in, and it'll be 20 years before a judgment is executed, especially when it comes to death penalty cases. Now, I get it. But if you have the right paradigm, two or three witnesses, if it's clear, and if it is absolutely understood, you don't get a reprieve. You killed somebody, you got to die. And what was really neat in the beginning of this country is that judges many times would hit the gavel, execute the sentence, and then lean into the man condemned and say, man, you are scheduled to die in a week from now. I encourage you to see your clergy and make yourself right with God. For here your judgment has been passed, but there is still hope for you in the next life. That was from the bench. We lived in a day where people understood the seriousness of life being taken. And there wasn't, oh, you ate too many Twinkies. That's a true defense. Somebody gave a Twinkie defense. He was hyped up on sugar, he ate too many Twinkies, and he killed somebody. And he got off with a Twinkie defense. You want to talk about being overly careful? The Bible says that because the sentence is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. That's in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a good word, isn't it? We need to deal with stuff. My goodness, other countries deal with stuff. Sometimes they take hands off of thieves. Chuck Colson talked years ago about taking and saying, if somebody does reparations for stealing from you, they ought not give it to the government. They ought to give it to the person they stole from. So you've got a little bit of sense in the world out there, but it's not being heard. The Bible says, what wickedness is that you've done? Send them out that we may put them to death. But Benjamin would not hearken. Now, all of Benjamin was not guilty until this point. Now they're all casting in their lot behind and into the protection of the sons of Belial. These were the Sodomites that were going to abuse the man who abused to death his concubine. And these were those men that they were going to support. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.